Well, hopefully as you came in this morning, you received a little handout and, yes, Creator today of heaven and of earth. Now, if you weren't here last week and you want to catch up, well, of course, you can go into the website, online, pick it up. I was interested that someone said to me after the service last week, oh, this is good. This is the right size for me to put in my Bible and to read each morning. Good. Someone else said to me, you know, I've been saying the creed on and off for a number of years and I'm not sure that I really knew what I was saying. So hopefully, as we go week by week, we'll learn more and more about what we're actually saying. I believe in God the Father Almighty. We did that last week. Creator of heaven and of earth. What do we take home from Father and God Almighty last week? Well, hopefully we were able to just set aside some of those images and thoughts of Father and we're able to embody a variety of things. And as I've said, what the creed does is it often... gives us a basis of belief against some of the beliefs that were common in society at that time. And last week we saw a bit about the Greek Roman gods and goddesses, their character and their behaviour, and that was set aside or beside the situation with our Heavenly Father, the Almighty. And we saw his morality, his character, his behaviour. There are many theories of creation, and some of you who have got grandchildren or children will know Graham Bass, the guy who was involved in Animalia and all of those little tricky bits. Well, this book that he has put out is incredible. It's on all of the creation stories. And when I look at this, and I see this, I just realise some of the stuff that our missionaries have to contend with when they go into a different culture and all of a sudden, no, we're not believing about God in heaven creating. We pick up something here from the North American Indians. In the beginning there was only water, all of the animals were above the water, they were happy enough, but it was crowded and they needed more room. So that's one of the theories, or one of the models, that was there. And we sort of think, oh, how interesting. From the Vikings, there were forest giants, dark, terrible people, and there was fights. And so as a result of the fighting and the bloodshed, that's how creation took place. How the world was created here. In the beginning, the universe was a dark nothingness with no night or day. Heaven and earth were one. Nothing was formed. The universe was a dark, egg-like mass. And in this dark mass, the first creature of the universe, Pengu, not the penguin, but Pengu, was born. How he created the world from China. Now, I'm just saying, and I've got some others marked, these are just theories or ideas. Certainly in here is the Christian creation as well. But we need to, we need to get away from the idea, as we did last week, I hope, that, you know, Christianity didn't just come and there were no other gods or goddesses. Last week we learned there were. Creation didn't take place without other creation stories being around. There were. And we need to realise that whether we're missionaries here, because we're aware that there are a variety of other theories around about that we need to cope with. Not everyone believes what we're singing. All the heavens shall declare the glory of the Lord. Some people would say, well, don't believe that. However, creation in the Bible, in about the first three chapters. No scientific explanation. It doesn't say, apart from God breathed or God said. It doesn't say he put these atoms together and he pulled this and he did that. We don't have any scientific stuff like that. But scripture refers constantly to creation. So we know it's part of our belief and part of what God has done. Not extensive, but just a few little references from scripture. In the beginning, right there, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then when Ezra spoke in the book of Nehemiah, you alone are the Lord, you made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. This, though, were Ezra's words. And then in Hebrews, when we come into the New Testament, in the last days, he, that is God, has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, even through whom he made the universe. This brings in second person of the Trinity. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was with God in the beginning, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So, there's no doubt in some ways that we have the creation. Now, Dion and I are doubling up nicely in some ways, but I was a bit in dream time. So, those of you who have been meticulous in going through would realise that when we've got to day 7, there's a slight muddle there. So, please make sure you sort that out. But what's happened? Well, let's have a look over here. For here we have some of the days of creation. Day 1, night and day. Day 2, heaven. Day 3, earth and sea. Vegetation and plants. This was the tablecloth we had, you see, and our kids had to eat every bit of veggie that was on their plate. What a joke. Right, so... That fits in there. Creation. How incredible that we have that. Plants, seeds, earth and sea, and then that. Sun, moon and stars down here. Sun, moon and stars. And then we go to 5 with the fish of the sea. And, of course, all of the birds. So, birds, fish, how incredible. And then we come to the animals with such an incredible variety. And, of course, people. I'm just sort of not going to say who I modelled that on from the church, but yes. So we've got creation. How incredible. If we had started with a blank canvas, what would we have done? What would we have done? How amazing, night and day, the heavens, the earth, the sea, the creatures in it, veggies, seeds, trees, animals, and people. Thank you, God, for such a wonderful creation. Whoops. I have often had here flowers or plants or something. And I'm still amazed when I look around our garden at some of the things there. The tiniest little plant, the beauty of colour, enormous big leaves, just incredible. And then even on a Sunday and other days when I look out and see the congregation, how clever was God that he has made each one of us so different. How wonderful. This is the creation of the living God. Now, I've got down there that there was obviously a significant order. I mean, God just didn't look into his scrap material bag and say, right, well, I'll just do this. Oh, I'll do the animals first. I better stick a few plants here. No, there was an order. Does that say anything to us? Because in Scripture, what does the Bible say? Things, particularly within a church, need to be done decently and in an order. How grateful I am to God that he didn't do things just scrap and last minute. Sometimes we cram too much into our lives to do things in an orderly, reflective, gentle, godly way. Creation reminds me that we need to be organised. We need to sometimes plan things. Now, I know things come in haphazard. We can cope with that. But we are people who trust in God, and so there needs to be some order in our lives, the way we do things, and just in our planning and thinking about God. So, friends, let's not just take creation, oh, yes, God put it there and that's it and I believe it. Because, in fact, I think there's something in here for us to learn. Dion and I don't just stand up on a Sunday morning and, well, let's see what comes along. That's not going to work. No, it's not, Warwick. Yes, we just need to be prepared. And I hope you're prepared. I know a lot of people prepare for Sunday on Saturday, and so that when they come to church on a Sunday, there's an order, there's not a rush, there's not a panic. Things have been sorted, because coming to worship corporately is what we bring as individuals during the week. So if we're not worshipping during the week, well, don't come on a Sunday and expect something spectacular. We bring our worship as we come. And the wonderful thing is, of course, is that God sustains his creation. Here we've got the beauty of creation, and even that has fallen, so it's not what it could be. But let me ask, how long does it take when we throw out a plastic bag for it to decompose? I mean, are we looking after creation is my question. God has created and has given us authority and power to do stuff. So, well, it takes 20 years for a plastic bag to decompose. One of those pull rings on whatever cam we take takes 400 years. So if we are part of God's creation, and we are looking after it for him in the way that he has provided it for us, shouldn't we look after it? A glass bottle takes 1 million years to decompose. We just need to be serious about saying we're part of God's creation, we believe in him as the creator, he sustains us, but he sustains it with our help. And we need to be serious about that. So that's there. Let there be, God says, as I said earlier. Well, no scientific anything, just God spoke. And that was it. And yes, as Dion said, it was good. we have damaged it, or humans have damaged it and upset it. Of course, someone has asked, well, when God spoke, what language did he use? You can tell me afterwards, what language did God use? Yes, but we stand in conflict often with creation. And we stand in conflict because we are more concerned often about abusing creation than using it in a God-given way. We are often more concerned about grabbing the minerals and abusing the soil. And now, how is the climate going? Is that our fault or is it just natural? Are all these disasters that seem to be happening, are they just a cycle? Or is it the result of our abuse? We need to think. And I'm not expecting everyone to go marching down the street and yelling, but that's just a concern that we have. So God said, and it came into being, it was good and that was fine. A good creation by a loving God. But not everyone thought that. Because there was this group, the people who were the knowers, not in the ark, but the people who knew or said they knew. They said, we have got secret knowledge and we know about the world and the soul, and we say that the physical world is evil because it was created by an evil God, and that's why there's so much evil in the world. And the best way to get out is with knowledge, and then we can escape this evil. And you can see they're a fairly austere lifestyle. No marriage, sex or childbirth. They were a very intolerant group. That is the society that was speaking to the society of the time. Well, it was one part of it. So they're saying the evil in the world is because it was created by an evil God. And the Christians are saying, no, it was created by a good God. He wants goodness. No, evil, good. So there will always be this opposition. But then, of course, there are other people, and I've just put down a few there in your notes, or in my notes too. And some of you might know these people. People who are pantheists, who just want to say, well, you know, trees and rocks and everything, it's all part of it. A mix of animism, polytheism, that's animism, trees, rocks, polytheism, all sorts of gods, and it's a new age paganism. The theists, one God, Christianity, Judaism, but Islam is in there, and deism, that there was no intervention of God in the world at all. You can look up those things if they're of any interest to you. New Age paganism, the divine power of nature, and in the last census, 33,000 people in Australia said that their belief, their tradition, whatever, was paganism or witchcraft. Pan, you know, Pan, the goat with hairy legs, interesting face, big ears. Pan. Diana, the goddess who ran with the golden apples. Wiccan, Sharma and witch. And we laugh about that, or we sometimes laugh about it. Over at Enfield, when we first came from Victoria, a young man came one day to my office. He wasn't part of the church. He said, I just go to the local high school. And he said, can I ask you a few questions? Sure. Well, he had got involved in a local witches group. He was a boy or young man in year 12, and he had got involved there. And there had been a number of activities, normally of a sexual kind. But one of his friends went to Nailsworth Church of Christ and was starting to say to him, what you're doing or what you're involved in is wrong. So he came to see me church is just there on Hampstead Road, came to see me to ask some questions, to see whether what his mate was saying was correct or what he was hearing or doing. Well, we talked, and that was fine. He came back another time and talked, but I think in the end he decided to head off to Nailsworth Church of Christ. We've been up in Aldgate, and the hills, of course, are noted for witch groups and all sorts of activities like that. But I've seen a group in the Botanic Park, women all dressed in white, all walking around in circles and whatever. So friends, creation, this is what we are saying about our God. But there are lots of people saying all sorts of other things. And we are stupid if we are not at least aware that other people are thinking things or behaving in certain ways because of their belief. And we need to be behaving in a certain way because of our belief. We need to be concerned about the planet. We need to be concerned about environment and everything else because we believe God has made it. And we need to be part of that. It's a sick world, and we realise that. A sick world that needs healing, not an evil world that needs destroying, which is what these people were saying. We need to get rid of it because it's been created by an evil God. Do we need any explanation from Romans? I don't think so. What Romans says is as soon as we give up worshipping the God who has created, we turn our attention and we start to worship part of the creation. We worship a tree, we worship an animal, we worship something else. And as soon as our attention goes away from worshipping the living God and we worship something else, our behaviour goes down. Our behaviour should be exalted because we see the Creator God, who has not only created, but then gives us Jesus and the Spirit. But if we've turned our eyes away from him and turned our eyes onto something else, then we say, oh, well, I'll worship the snake god, or I'll worship this tree. And people have said that as you drive along some of the roads, particularly the country roads, and you see where someone has been killed, you see little signs, little crosses, bunches of flowers up, that it's almost become shrines to the person. We need to be careful about that too, that we don't make a person an altar, or we don't make a person the thing to be worshipped. We worship and adore the God who has created, not the creation. Friends, we don't have to look too far to see the downward spiral of morality. Not at all. We see it in Romans, yes, and we see it again in all sorts of things. Pornography, lawlessness, the Mardi Gras will be on, what, next week, 2 weeks away, abuse and misuse of human life. Once we turn from the Creator, we abuse the creation. So, people don't matter, just abuse people, abuse things, abuse nature. How sad. How sad. And the last little bit. In the sadness of what we see sometimes, in the desperation of what we see, we are reminded that God will ultimately save his creation. How wonderful is that? In Romans, a little bit on, we read that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. A little bit earlier in Revelation, it gives the impression all of creation is standing on tiptoes, just looking and waiting for the coming of the Lord when all of this will be redeemed. How wonderful. Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth. Won't that be wonderful? A new heaven and a new earth. We're looking at the Creed, before we sing our last song, let us stand together. And if the Creed is meaningful for you, let us say it together. Thank you. Let us say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.